Maine, Maine, Maine Outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine Outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the Maine Outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine Outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors online. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors.
Thank you, sir. And if you love the Maine Outdoors the way Bob and I do, if you love to fish and hunt and camp and just be out there in the great outdoors, this is the place you need to be. And we're so happy you could be with us tonight on board. We have I think you'll find it an interesting program tonight. And of course, we always invite you to be on our show every week. It helps to make the program even better if you weigh in. If you'd like to do so, we have a number. Bob Lehman is standing by. He has a toll-free statewide number you can call from anywhere in the world on our nickel.
That's right. This is streaming live all over the world, and the number to call is 1-800-966-1039. And dial the whole number, even if you're local. You know that, Paul, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
1-800-966-1039, and those are our call letters.
Yep, and you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network, 101.3, 103.9, and 95.1. Down in the seacoast town of Rockland. And let's see, I'll introduce our guests in just a moment, but first the crew who make this show possible week after week. Now, our normal full-time board operator is playing hooky. He's trying to get up to Quebec to do some fishing. Apparently, they had a forest fire up there.
Oh, yeah, he can't get around. They have 70 more miles to go, but they can't make it.
Can't get to where he's going. They're hoping to get the fire under control so they can head up.
Yeah.
Anyway, Norm's not with us tonight, but in his place, we have our acting substitute pinch-hitting engineer, Paul Wolf. Paul, thanks for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here, sir. We would be empty here without you. You know that. Right. Nice to have you here, sir. And, of course, our co-host every week, he's a master Maine guide. He's written some great fishing books. He's an author, a former deputy game warden. He's my friend. I'm proud to say Bob Lehman.
Thank you, Paul. And let me throw out a couple of names real quick. Could I do that?
Sure, go ahead.
I met a fellow out to the Solstice home this week. I went out there for lunch, and he sat behind me, and we swung around. He's a gardener out there. He puts a big gardener in.
Yeah.
His name is Carl. I've forgotten his last name. I'm sorry, Carl. I know you're listening tonight with your girlfriend, and I forgot her name, too. I'm sorry about that, but I'll remember next week if I happen to go out and have lunch and see you again, which I might soon do that. And I also want to mention an older gentleman out there that's by the name of, let me see what his name is, Merle White. Merle White. And they call him Grumpy, because he's always grumpy, but I got him to laugh, and I got him laughing there the other day. So he's not so grumpy as he appears to be.
Well, good.
So,
okay,
that's the story there.
Our guest tonight, if you just joined us, our guest tonight, we have two telephone guests. The first one is, I'm proud to say, the hiking writer for the Northwood Sporting Journal. He's hiked the Appalachian Trail a couple of times completely, the through trail hike. He also did the Pacific Crest Trail out in the West Coast. And he's a great hiking writer. He'll be with us to talk about hiking. Kerry Kish will be with us. And then after that, after the 7:30 break, we're going to hook up with another columnist for the Journal. Her name is Suzanne O'Claire. And Suzanne spent, I think, a couple weeks, Bob, up in northern Quebec in March, which can be pretty cool.
Well, I guess.
And anyway, she spent some time up there with the legendary female Maine guide, Pauli Mahoney, and they lived with some of the Cree people up there in northern Quebec.
That must be really interesting.
And she learned a lot of survival skills up there, and we're going to be talking to her.
Yeah.
I think that'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have our phone number, and you do know that we also have podcasts available. If you want to catch an old show and you missed it a couple weeks ago, you can go to WVOM-FM and just click on podcast, and you can pick a show of your choosing. Just click on the date. Hey, let's see, what else? Want to remind you the show is sponsored every week in part by the Northwood Sporting Journal, my favorite outdoor publication. The new issue has just hit the streets. You'll recognize it because it's Bob's favorite fish on the cover.
Certainly is.
A big old slippery brookie.
Big one, too.
That is a big one, yeah. Anyway, check it out. If you want to buy a subscription, we always encourage you to do that. You can call the nicest lady in Enfield, Alicia, and you can call her at 732-4880, 732-4880. And you can also check out our website at www.sportingjournal.com. And let's see, I think that's about it. I wanted also to remind you that if you live in the Portland area, you're looking for part-time work, we're looking for a motor route driver to deliver the paper in that area once a month, and we pay generous commissions, and it's a good job because you only have to go to work 2 days a week. I mean, 2 days a month.
Well that's right? Even better.
Yeah. So anyway, if you're interested in that, you can call the office and ask Alicia. She'll give you the details at 745. Wait a minute. That's my number. Call Alicia at 732-4880. 732-4880. Okay, before we have Bob's famous fishing report, a couple of items here out of the digest. Moose permit drawing takes place this Saturday, Bob.
Wow, things come quick, don't they?
Okay, and I put in for a moose permit. Diane put in for one.
Wow.
And let's see.
You didn't get one last year, did you?
No, I've been a few years.
Yeah.
Diane got in on a hunt last fall.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is going to take place the first time they've done this, but it'll be in Augusta. They used to go up in the boondocks in the North Woods. They're having it at the Mill Park in Augusta, Maine, this Saturday. Mm-hmm. Festivities begin at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Goes all day. And, you know, they just spent the whole day drawing names out of a barrel.
That's so? That's the way? I've never been to one.
Oh, yeah. They pick the names, and people are waiting there with bated breath.
Yeah.
Get there. They're going to have vendors, food, other activities for the whole family. And the actual drawing itself begins at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
You going?
No, I won't be there, but I'll be ringside on my computer at 6 p.m. Uh-huh. to find out if I get the lucky drawing.
I see, sure.
So anyway, if you want to check it out, it's 6 o'clock on Saturday night. You can go to mainfishwildlife.com, mafishwildlife.com, and check it alphabetically. You can find out if you drew a moose permit. A couple of other things. Big Fly Fishing Festival up in Rangeley on June, remember the date of that, 14th, 15th?
I think so.
That Friday and Saturday, anyway, the midweek in June, Big Fly Fishing Festival up there, all kinds of activities, and I encourage you to take part in that. Of course, that's the fishing heritage of Maine, the Rangeley area.
It is. Right? It sure is.
Yep.
That's where all the streamers really get started right there.
Who are some of the great names that come from Rangeley?
Well, how about Carrie Stevens, and who else?
Fly Rod Crosby.
Is she from Rangeley?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Herbert Welch?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Ashley.
Herb Welch.
Herb Welch. Yeah, and I think Fly Rod's actually from Phillips, near Rangeley.
That's handy, too, Rangeley, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Phillips, Strong, they're all in the same country.
Yeah. If you want to know more about the festival, check out the big ad in the latest issue of the Northwood Sporting Journal. Last week, somebody called up, Bob, and asked a question about tiger trout.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Remember that?
I recall that, and I didn't know. Now I know.
Yeah, well, I got this interesting email real quick. Mm-hmm. Share it with you. This is from Scott Byron, mm-hmm. who's come aboard as a new writer for the Northwood Sporting Journal. Mm-hmm. By the way, he's a streamer tire like you. Mm-hmm. He loves it. He's from New Hampshire. Anyway, he said, I was listening to your podcast and couldn't help you with a question about a caller asking about tiger trout. Willard Pond in Antrim, New Hampshire, was stocked with tiger trout many years ago. The pond supported the fish, and then the New Hampshire Fish and Game stopped stocking the fish in 2012. 5 years ago, he did a fly tying demo at the fishing show in New Hampshire. Anyway, somebody that year caught a huge tiger trout, and I guess they have stopped stocking them. They don't do that anymore, but apparently there were some ponds in New Hampshire that did have.
That's probably where they came from, because you know they spawn at different times of year.
Do they?
Brown trout and brook trout.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, that was interesting.
Brown trout, of course, is imported from Europe years ago.
Yes. Didn't they call them the Dolly Varden trout or something like
that's
that?
That's a different species.
Yeah, that is.
It is,
It's
yeah.
not the same as a brown trout? I thought it was the same fish.
No, it's not the same fish.
Not?
No, it's different.
You sure?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Want to bet me on that?
You want to bet on it?
All right. I'm not sure. We'll find out. Anyway, we had an interesting afternoon at Bob's place. We had a, Paul, we had a yard sale over there.
Yeah, we did. Oh, great. And you were the auctioneer, and you did a fantastic job.
I was the auctioneer.
Nice. Yeah.
And it worked out okay.
Yeah, I made thousands.
Yeah,
thousands.
Bob had a lot of fishing equipment. When you get to be Bob's age, over the years you love to fish, you accumulate a lot of stuff.
Oh,
you know,
heavens. I guess. Yeah. So.
And he had some fantastic. He had some Orvis reels, some Hardy reels, and some great fly rods. And if you weren't there, folks, you missed it.
Flies and
what great bargains! Yeah,
of all kinds.
Yeah,
you know, Rapalas. Yeah. And Daredevils.
Oh, I never saw so many fishing lures.
I had hundreds of them.
Bob had a tremendous collection.
I did, and you did a great job.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Okay, anyway.
I bought you a cheeseburger.
Yes, you did.
Fillet fish.
Yeah, yeah, good. Okay, I think this is the time, Paul, when you can bring the band in now.
Yeah.
Oh, it took us years to train him to do that, Paul. You know that?
Sounds great, though.
Yeah, doesn't he? He's right on key.
Absolutely.
Perfect pitch.
We've got to thank Jimmy.
Jimmy Layton. Yep.
Jimmy Layton.
God bless Jimmy Layton. I hope he's listening tonight. Hope he
How are you doing tonight, Jimmy? I love you.
We hope he's tuning in. We all love him.
What's going
on in the fishing world?
Well, I'm going to talk a little about that auction. It's a wonderful job you did, Bob. My heavens, it was fantastic.
Yep.
I mean, you were on your feet for 3 or 4 hours there.
Well, I went to auction training school in Kentucky. You know that.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Somebody told me that. I can't remember who it was. I got to say hello to Eric Warren and his wife, Michelle. They called me this week. They're coming up for, I think it's a couple of days, and going to take us out to dine. Isn't that nice?
Are they really?
You've talked to Eric on the phone.
Well, I'm surprised he didn't invite me to go to dine. I mean, I gave him a book.
I've known him for years.
Yeah. Eric.
Well, I take a lot of flies for him. So
I know.
He's probably kind of
paying
me back.
No, I think that's great. He's coming all the way from Ohio.
And I want to tell him that I have saved out his rod and reel that he wanted. And I'll have it for you when we go out to eat. Anyway, what do they call those fish now? River herring, they call them. Big run of river herring this year, they're expecting. Last year they had over 1 million in the Penobscot alone.
Incredible.
And incredible.
Yeah.
This year they're expecting as much, if not more, than 1 million, maybe upwards of 2 million. And you know what they are called, actually? Not river herring, but what?
Begins with A, ends in E. Alewife.
No, really? That's true.
Alewife, yeah.
You got it right.
In the old days, they used to smoke those.
They used to.
Right.
When I was a boy, they sold them all up and down the coast.
Yeah.
And they were delicious.
Yeah.
You know, they put them on a stick, and they were selling them like crazy, and they were great to eat, but never see them anymore.
A little high in sodium, though.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. Yeah, but they were good.
Yeah, and the weather has been upsy-dupsy-dupsy-dupsy here the last few days.
So isn't it, really?
You get a hatch going, and then it's a cold way. You know, it's just, and the waters came up again, so it's a mess. It's a mess out there. But you're also on the migration, they ought to be getting salmon in. Usually June they start coming in. They used to come in April years ago, as you know.
Yep.
But nowadays, this new run of salmon, they're completely different, and they can start running, you know, the end of May, first of May, June.
I didn't realize that. I thought timing has changed a lot, huh?
Oh, it's a different fish altogether.
It is.
It's the same salmon, but the heritage is different, you know. They don't come like, they used to fish for them, Paul, and catch them April 1st.
I remember that. I caught one on the Penobscot River.
I wouldn't doubt that in the least.
Yeah, with Tom Hennessy back, I think it was like April 14th, 13th.
When you were working for the news back in those news days. You
Tom Hennessy and I got out there at 4 o'clock in the morning at 4:30. I had a hookup.
April 1st.
Oh, it was a fun.
Oh, and they were beautiful fish.
Oh,
you know, some
they?
Were 14, 15 pounds.
Fighters, fresh run.
Oh, wicked. But not anymore.
They've gone. Nope.
That run is gone. The heritage of them is gone. But now it's a hatchery breed now, and they're just a different fish.
Yep.
However, that's... I wanted to mention one quick thing right now. My boy went fly fishing the other day for one of his favorite ponds of his friend, Adam.
Yeah.
And they fly fished and had a great old time and caught a couple here and there. And then Adam says, the heck with this, puts on a big night crawl and chucked it up there. And so did Bobby. Worms, Paul.
You allow them to fish with worms?
I wasn't there.
Oh.
But, you know, they slayed them. Yeah. And the water was cold and it was windy and they'd fly. You couldn't really fly fish. Yep. There was no hatch.
Yeah.
But boy, did they take worms. You know, this time of year, that's what's feeding on the bottom.
Oh,
stuff,
sure.
You know, the nymphs and stuff.
Yeah.
So a worm fit right in and they got some beautiful trout.
Oh, great.
Beautiful trout. Good. So that's it, sir.
I saw some mayflies the other day when it was 95 degrees. I saw a couple of mayflies.
Well, you know, there's a little tiny black mayfly now. Maybe it's 16 or 18, and it looks a lot like a black gnat, but it's not. But it's a little black species of mayfly that hatches early.
Yeah.
And they will take that. And so if you take that, you should do well.
Yeah.
Just as I said, the black gnat is a great copy of it.
Yeah. That's always a good trout fly.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, that it?
That's it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that fine fishing report. And again, if you just joined us here in Maine Outdoors, we have two guests tonight. First one is going to be hiking writer Kerry Kish, who's going to take us up the, maybe climb Mount Katahdin, maybe the AT, we're not sure, but we'll talk to Kerry. Then after that, after the 7:30 break, we're going to be talking to outdoorsman and columnist for the Sporting Journal, Susanna Clare, who had an interesting vacation up in northern Quebec in March, when it can be just a little chilly. We'll be talking to her then. And let's see, we have, before we get to our guests, we have the outdoor trivia question, which we always have about this time. Bob has graciously agreed to give you one of his fable streamer flies. Could be, I guess, of your choosing, if you can answer his question.
And the question is, what are the three highest mountains in Maine and the three largest lakes as well?
Okay, could you have answered that, Bob, if you hadn't seen the screen?
I don't think so. I probably could have got two of them of each.
So you want the three highest mountains?
Three highest mountains and the three largest lakes.
Okay. 1-800-966-1039. Paul Wolf is standing by to take your calls, and we'll be right back. Okay, Judge Bob Lehman is standing by looking for you to get the right answer to his question. He wants you to tell him the three highest mountains in Maine and the three largest lakes. And if you have the right answer, Bob is going to grace your table with a streamer fly tied by him personally. Let's see if we can take a call. Good evening. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hi, my name is Chris Hensby. I think I might have the answer. You said the three largest mountains and the three largest lakes in Maine?
That's right.
I'm going to say, for the mountains, I'm going to say Mount Katahdin is one of them. Darn it, I'm drawing a blank. Mount Katahdin, I'm just going to go on a whim. Moosehead Lake for the largest lake.
Yep.
You know what? Never mind.
Wait, hold it
off the top of my head. I've been listening to your radio show. So. Right.
What's your first name, Chris?
I'm sorry?
What is your first name, sir?
Chris.
Chris. Okay, Chris, I want you to relax, okay? Just sit back and relax. Let your mind kind of loosen up a little bit. Now, you got the biggest mountain and you got the biggest lake. But now we need two other mountains and two other lakes. You want to give it a shot?
What about Mount Kineo?
Sorry.
Judge's giving you a thumbs down on that. So I guess.
Yeah. No, I kind of figured.
All right. Well, we gave you a good chance, didn't we, Chris?
Yes, you did.
Okay. No cigar guy. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
All right. So far we have Mount Katahdin and Moosehead Lake, and those are both correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take another caller. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you, sir?
Oh, not too bad.
You want to take a stab at it?
Yeah. So you got Mount Katahdin and Moosehead.
Mm-hmm.
I got Sugarloaf Mountain.
Right.
And Old Speck Mountain for the bigger mountain.
That's two out of three, Paul.
Yeah, that's two out of three for the mountains. How about the lakes?
And then you got Moosehead, and then Sebago Lake.
Right. That's 2 out of 3. How about another one?
And the Suncook Lake.
Hey. I think he wins.
I think you do. Yeah, you missed the third mountain, but you did such a good job, and we're feeling magnanimous tonight. We're going to give it to you, okay?
All righty.
Congratulations. You had them all. The only one you missed was Crocker Mountain. That's number 3 in the height. Very good. Good job. And you have won one of Bob's famous streamer flies. Do you have any particular type of fly you'd like to have?
No. I'm actually... I don't fly fish right now, but I'm looking to get into it. So,
okay, well,
a good one to start out with.
I'll pick one that's one of my most popular ones.
All right.
Awesome.
Okay, and you know, even if you don't fly fish with it, you can frame it and put it on the wall because it'll be worth a lot of money someday. All right.
All right, sounds good to me.
Okay,
thank you for calling.
If you'll stay in the line, Paul's going to get your address for us. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right, those are the correct answers. The 3 highest mountains are Mount Katahdin.
He did good.
I thought he did a good job.
I couldn't have done that.
He got a 95. Did well.
Crocker Mountain. That's an odd
Crocker
name.
Mountain. Speck Mountain is a tall mountain too, but Crocker's higher.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Moosehead Lake, Sebago Lake, and Chesuncook.
Chesuncook is a big lake.
That is a big, big lake.
Bet.
Yep. Okay, those were the correct answers, and I would compliments to my the person who writes these trivia questions. She did a good job on those. Didn't you think?
Who is it?
I don't know.
Oh.
Okay. All right. We're going to, as soon, Paul is busier than a one-arm paper hanger in there. He's going to be talking to our guest to get the address, and then he has to dial our phone guest, who is Carrie Kish. Now, if you're new to this, Carrie Kish is he's the most dedicated, devoted, I guess you'd call him a professional hiker. His whole life, Bob.
Yes, he's been on the show before.
Is hiking. He's been on the show.
Very interesting fellow.
And I have the greatest admiration for anybody that can do what he's done and what he does.
I know it.
He's done the Appalachian Trail twice. Yeah,
twice.
The whole trail twice.
Yes, sir.
And
is there a good fishing pond up there?
Oh, Appalachian Trail is loaded with good trout ponds.
Well, maybe I'll try that.
And a lot of people don't bother fishing. They just hike the trail and they go right by them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I haven't got the strength anymore, so I just hit the couch nowadays. But
I wouldn't bother
to hike it if I couldn't fish.
I went on the AT last year for the first time with my granddaughter.
Did you?
And it was not the way I envisioned it. There's these little smooth paths, you know, with little needles, needles.
Yeah, right, sure.
But it was all gnarled roots and sharp rocks.
Yeah.
And I made it. But,
you did well.
But we did an overnight and came back out. But it was I realized that it's not easy.
Well, you get tangled in them roots and you go.
Anyway,
and you're not getting any younger either.
No,
those
none of us
get
are
a little brittle, you know.
Yeah, right. And anyway, Carrie's also done the Pacific Crest Trail, mm-hmm. which goes from the southern border in the on the west coast all the way up to Oregon.
Wow.
And he did it, I guess he did it in 2 or 3 parts,
uh-huh.
but he got weathered out a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
But you imagine that? He spent the entire...
He just lives, he must be in great shape.
Oh, he is.
You have to be.
Oh, he is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he is. And he writes some very interesting columns about his hikes, and we've talked to him about the gear he uses, mm-hmm. because, you know, if you're hiking, you go through a pair of boots halfway through the AT.
I bet you do.
And he has these special kind of boots that he likes. And I can't remember what the brand name was. Okay. Good evening, Carrie.
Guys, nice to be with you.
Nice to have you on board, Carrie. And I've just been telling folks a little about you and your background and so forth and all the hikes that you've done over the years. You've done the AT.
It's all made up, Paul.
It's all made up, yeah. No, I know you. I know you're the real thing, Carrie. Because I know you well, and I have the greatest respect and admiration for what you do and for your mental strength as well as your physical strength. Good for you. Now, before we get down to business and talk about the columns you've been writing about the beer hikes, I think that'd be interesting. But would you tell the folks just a little bit about how long have you been actually hiking?
Oh, geez, I've been hiking for over 50 years, I guess.
Yeah, so you started young, right?
I
Well, yes, I did.
You must be still young.
Yes, I did. You know, wherever there was a patch of woods in New Jersey, and then in the Berkshire Hills of Massachusetts, and then when I got to Maine at the tender age of 13, boy, I found a whole new playground, and it's been nonstop ever since.
Yeah.
You know, this is a hiker's paradise up here.
Yeah. Hey, what is it that gives you this passion? What drives you? I can't imagine how anybody can have the mental,
and physical.
Yeah, the physical and mental fortitude to do that, because it's day after day after day after day. What's special about AT hikers, do you think?
Well, you know, as all of you folks know, in your own particular passions, fishing, hunting, hiking, paddling, whatever it is, if you love it, you just go after it. And I've always loved being outdoors. I've been inspired by the state of Maine forever, inspired by any patch of outdoor terrain. I just love being outdoors. A lot of times I'm out there alone, and I don't know, there's just, and, you know, especially when I hiked the AT in 77 at the age of 18, that just, you know, that was a milestone thing early on in my life, and I just realized I just love being outside, and I got that freedom gene installed in my DNA somewhere.
Yeah, it's
and you know, there was no turning back from
that. It's something that's in your blood. Yeah, you've been writing an interesting group of columns now, but kind of tying in a beer, like drinking beer and hiking. Tell us about that.
Well, I am enjoying a nice tumble down red ale from the guys at nice folks at Tumble Down Brewing in Farmington right now. So,
oh, are you?
Cheers to them.
Yeah,
absolutely. So the whole beer and hiking thing, you know, as most outdoors people do, we like to recreate outdoors, and then we get hot and sweaty and a little bit thirsty, and we like to have a beer afterwards. Many of us do, and hikers are no different, and I've always loved a beer after a hike, and somehow I got this wild idea to write a book about, well, it started off as hiking and the breweries here in Maine, which we've got 150 of them or so, and then when I finally found the right publisher, we expanded the whole concept to New England, and ended up writing about 50 great hikes around New England of all kinds, and 50 great breweries with lots of good beer, and it was a lot of fun. And the book just came out this spring, and it's doing well. And gosh, I'm just I had a lot of fun with the project. It was a real journey of discovery all over New England. I learned a lot, saw a lot of stuff, and now I'm out, hawking the book and having a good time talking about it.
Okay, what's the name of the book, and how would somebody get it?
Oh, it's called Beer Hiking New England, and it's available all over online, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, thereabouts, and should be available in most bookstores around New England, and a lot of the outdoor retailers, like REI and that kind of thing. So it's widely available.
And you're deserving of your handle on the AT, I heard, was the beer man, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I finally earned that one. I was just talking to some folks about that the other day. Yeah.
All right. The time we have left isn't much, but I'd like to ask you, for those who are listening, can you recommend a couple of, maybe two or three good day hikes for folks? One of your favorites?
Well, do they have to have beer?
Well, no, you could be with beer or without beer, but okay. Just a good day hike.
Well, geez, there's so many in Maine. You know, I love all, you know, I live here on Mount Desert Island. I love all the hikes in Acadia.
Yep.
It does get busy in the summertime. So I've been steering people up to the down east, the Lubeck area. There's a kind of a brand new set of parklands called Cobscook Shores.
Yeah.
And it was all started by this philanthropist and conservation guy, Gilbert Butler. And now he kind of quietly purchased some 16 miles and I don't know how many thousands of acres, but he's got 20 different parklands with hiking trails.
Oh, that sounds good.
it's amazing. And the quality of the work they've put into the trails and the facilities, the trailheads, the signage, it's a world-class thing. These folks know what they're doing, and we're really fortunate to have the Butler Foundation here in Maine. They're also working, they've done the Penobscot River ski trails up the Medway area. They're doing great things. They do landscape scale conservation in a number of places around the world, and Maine happens to be one of their chosen spots. It's pretty neat.
One final question before we leave you.
Yes, sir.
Somebody's never hiked Katahdin and they're going to do it for the first time this summer, which trail would you recommend they take and why?
Well, there's no easy way up Katahdin, that's for sure. A-Ball suffered a landslide a few years back and they rerouted the trail. So it's a touch easier than it used to be. It doesn't all go up the old A-Ball slide. I might recommend going up A-Ball. Getting an early start, make sure you get a day-use parking pass because you're going to need it. Call the nice folks at Baxter State Park. They're really sweet. They'll give you all the information you need, and they'll tell you how it's done and how it's done well, and they won't steer you wrong. They're nice folks, yeah. and you'll need that. You need a lot of water, an early start, get up there and enjoy the day and have fun. It's the best climb in Maine.
All right. Carrie, thank you very much. I wish we had more time, but we don't. And we appreciate you being with us tonight. And we appreciate all you do for the Sporting Journal.
Always, gentlemen. You guys have a nice evening. Thanks to everybody out there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie. Yeah, bye-bye.
Night now.
Okay, that was Carrie Kish, the hiking writer for the Northwood Sporting Journal. We have Susanna Claire lined up, who spent some time with the Cree folks up in northern Quebec. We'll be talking to her right after we take this break. Okay, our next guest on Maine Outdoors is Susanna Claire. She writes a column for the Northwood Sporting Journal called Kineo Currents. Are you there, Suzanne?
Hi, yes, I am.
Thank you. We appreciate you being with us tonight. What's it doing up in Rockwood tonight? Is it raining or snowing?
Well, it's probably raining, but I happen to be down in Southwest Harbor right now.
Are you where?
I'm down in Mount Desert Island. I'm out in Southwest Harbor.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were up in the big woods. Anyway.
Well, I normally am.
Yeah.
I'm normally up in Rockwood.
All right. Suzanne, it's so glad to have you with us. For folks who don't know, Suzanne is an accomplished outdoors woman who she covers her own canoes, and she's just spent a couple of weeks, I think, up in northern Quebec. And I thought it might be interesting for her. She's written a column about it for the Sporting Journal. I thought it might be interesting to get hooked up with Suzanne and have her explain to you about why she would want to do that in March, go up in northern Quebec, and maybe some of the impressions you got from being up there and what happened, Suzanne.
Yes. So, right. Who goes north in the springtime?
Right.
I wanted to go to a different geography and to experience the old ways with the Cree Nation. And I happened to go with a friend and guide, Polly Mahoney, who organizes these things and has a long-standing relationship to the Cree. So that was really it. And I wanted to be in a completely different place and to learn something.
And what part of Quebec specifically were you in?
Well, it's a Cree Nation village. We were in the bush about 20 minutes outside of it, but it's in a place called Ujibukumu. And it means, in Cree, a place where people gather. And it's very much its own community, and it's maybe 30 years old, and so instead of the Cree people moving with the seasons, and they were moving, there was a lot of mining, and they were going to dam the rivers around James Bay, so long story short, they ended up settling in this village and creating this village.
Now, did you fly to get there? Did you drive to get there?
No, we drove.
Yeah?
It was 12 hours to get there and 12 hours back. So one day up, one day back, and then 7 days in the bush with this elderly couple.
Okay.
Who were born and raised and raised their own family and now they teach us. So we did some seine fishing and learned how to take care of a moose hide in a traditional way. We couldn't do the whole thing, but it's a lot of work with a bone tool.
Okay, can you describe, I'm having a difficult time picturing, and maybe the listeners are as well, the Cree Nation lives there. Do their children go to public schools? Are they self-taught? Can you describe what does the village look like? What kind of buildings do they have?
Yes, it's a whole village unto itself, and they've created their own facilities. They've got a cultural center and a church and a school, their own school, and they teach Cree. And all those other subjects, but also they teach their native language, French and English, and all the signs are in those three. The stop sign is in English, French, and Cree, and they've done a lot of economic development all themselves. It's very much their own like little town, and there are. 9 communities in and around the area, but Ujibugumu is their sort of the heartbeat, is their center.
Now, how do you say the name of that town again? Bob Lehman wants to know if he could pronounce it. How does it go? What is it again? You want to try it, Bob? Wait a minute. What is it again, Suzanne?
Hi, Bob.
You woke me up.
Ujibugumu.
We woke Bob up. What is it again, Suzanne?
Ujibugumu.
Could you say that, Bob?
No, no way.
Or they just call it OJ.
Oh, that's easier than Ujibugumu.
They call it OJ.
Yeah.
And it's way up. It's like I said, it's about 12 hours from where we started from in Maine.
Yeah.
And there was still a lot of snow, a lot of ice.
Ooh.
And very, very, very cold. It's about... it's in central northern Quebec, and you're getting kind of into tundra, but there's a lot of black spruce.
Yeah.
You're in black spruce country.
Yeah. And the village has regular homes like we have? I mean, stick-built homes or what?
Yes, no. It's all modern.
Is
and
it?
In fact, they've been for 30 years. They developed this biomass plant based on Swedish technology.
Oh, no kidding!
And the biomass, it's wood chips, but they run pipes underneath all the buildings and all the homes.
Yeah,
and it completely heats the village.
Oh, that's incredible!
This one biomass plant, and
yeah.
It's run by natives. Who went to school for it, and it's been about 30 years, and it won a UN award.
Oh, did it?
For,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do most of the Cree Nation speak English there?
Yes, but there's a lot of
French.
They speak their own. They speak their own tongue, and. We were visitors, of course. We were the tourists, and they were very welcoming, and they spoke English to us. But in a way, I felt like, you know, my mom was French Canadian, and I felt sometimes when we were at the base camp, I felt like I was surrounded by my grandmother and all of her daughters. they all spoke Cree. But I grew up with all speaking French, and so it was very warm and very inviting and lively.
I bet, yeah. Do you mind hanging on a minute? Bob Lieben's dying to do a commercial break here that we need to get done.
Okay.
Or if you stay on the line, we have some other questions. If you folks at home have any questions for Suzanne, you can call us at 1-800-966-1039. And Bob has a message for us.
Off-grid living. I like that entry, don't you?
Yeah.
Off-grid living.
Perfect segue.
And that's made easy at General Appliance now in Brewer. And they're back in business again, selling gas ranges, gas refrigerators, freezers, gas lights, and compost toilets, Paul.
Ride the wave, baby.
You got it. Hey, yeah. Paul, thank yeah. you ever so much.
He gets an extra $100
right,
for that.
With it,
wow. Been waiting all night.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, they are now owned out there at General Appliance and Brewer by Gary Coleman, who has been doing business work for these people for 35 years.
Gary knows his stuff.
So he knows his stuff, no question about it. And nothing has changed. Still serving up first-class customer service. And come visiting them at their new location, just two doors up, right on the corner, actually, at 103 Center Street and North Main or South Main, Brewer. General Appliance and Center, sales and service, and all of your off-grid needs. And they also sell parts, Paul.
Yes, they do.
What's their phone number?
Their phone number, I used to have it right on the top of my head, Bob, but I know you have it on the
989-3714.
989-3714. Right. General Appliance and Brewer, we thought we were going to lose them, but they're back, and Gary Coleman's running the shop, and we're so pleased to hear that.
Yes.
Okay. Again, we're talking to Suzanne Auclair, who writes a column for the Sporting Journal, and she's recounting her experiences visiting the Cree Nation up in northern Quebec in a town called what, Bob?
Subaru.
Oh, boy, you murdered that one. Oh, that's Bob.
That's where Norm is gone.
Bob, read my lips. Obugadoo.
Obugadoo.
There
I'll
you go.
I'll try to remember that. Yeah, Obugadoo.
Obugadoo.
Sounds like a bug.
Did he say it right, Suzanne?
No.
He didn't? Right. Well. Okay, we have a caller who may have a question for you, Suzanne. Let's take it. Good evening, caller. You're in Main Outdoors with Suzanne Auclair. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering about, like, the food situation and pharmacy and stuff like that. Are they just produce their own food, or they truck it in or whatever? I'll take the answer off the air, and you have a good night.
Yeah, good question. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yes, so no, they have a pharmacy and a medical center. Their own medical and emergency center that is native run, and a lot of the families you can buy food. There's a town, Chibougamau. I can hardly pronounce these words, but you can buy food, but also there is a tradition of hunting and fishing and very family oriented. So, when you hunt or you fish, also you provide to your elders and to other families. For instance, we did some seine fishing, gill netting, under the ice. And got probably 13 fish. Got a pike and some whitefish and some really large suckers with eggs. They were full of eggs. And anyway, we cleaned those up and gave them to the elders.
Oh, and, that's great.
Yeah, and so they'll do that. And the elder women really like the suckers. They consider it a sweet meat.
I always wondered about those things when I've seen them in Brooks. I wonder if they'd be good eating.
I know. Yeah. I always think of them as small.
Yeah.
Probably, because of the Brooks. When I think of a sucker, I just think of a kind of a throwaway fish.
Trash fish. We have another caller, Suzanne. Let's take that call before we lose it. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with Suzanne Auclair. Go ahead.
Yeah, Susanna. Frank Cole from Sagerville. I'm just curious. Why you drove 13 hours to see indigenous people that speak their own language plus English and live in their own community like hippies and have biomass or wood boilers? You got to write Stacyville. They're called Mennonites and Amish.
Yeah.
So.
Amen.
Right. I guess that was, I don't know if that was a question or a commercial, but anyway, appreciate the call. I want to ask you, how do you say this in Cree? I know you learned some Cree while you were up there. How do you say, I love you almost as much as Home Depot? How do you say that in Cree?
I have no idea on that.
Oh, did you learn any Cree at all?
No. I listened, but they spoke English to us.
Yep.
And it's a very lyrical language. It's very beautiful to listen to, but it really is foreign to me, and also the alphabet, if you want to say, is very different from ours. We did go into the school there, and they showed us some of these symbols, and it would be difficult for me to learn that.
Now, your host for this trip is Pauli Mahoney, who's Maine's first female legendary guide. We've had her on the show before. Does she lead trips like this often, do you know?
She does. She's had a long-standing relationship with the Cree because she has sled dogs, and they had sled dogs years back.
Oh,
and now
okay.
And we didn't sled dog. We used snow machines, and we also snowshoed.
Okay.
And but they'll take trips. Her partner Kevin is going way up near the Arctic later on this spring.
Okay, we're almost up against the clock here. I want to thank you for being here. Would you do this again?
I'd be glad to.
Okay.
Yes.
In other words, it was a positive experience for you, and you get some great ideas from it.
Oh yes, yeah. Yes. I would take this trip, and I really enjoyed the winter trip.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for being with us. Hope you enjoy your time down on Mount Desert Island. And And thanks for writing for the journal. We appreciate everything you do.
Okay. All right. Good. Good night.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Good night.
All right. That was Suzanne O'Clair, who writes a column called Kineo Currents. Next week, our guest is going to be Rachel McManus, and she's going to tell us about the Schoodick Lake Bass Fishing Tournament coming up in July.
Should be great.
Right. And we'll see you all next week.
Right here on Maine Outdoors.